What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
All right, so welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football TV, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success in the sport. Also going to bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, as well as informing you on top European leagues and soccer news around the world. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Please don't forget to like our videos and you know, keep the conversations going. Keep, you know, commenting and letting us know what you think about these weekly episodes. We have a lot more coming through, you know, these couple of weeks moving forward. Again, my name's Cornelius, and I'm joined by my fellow boys and co-hosts. We have a couple guests joining us today who are, you know, they're friends as well. They've been on the show before, Solo and Young Trini. How are y'all doing today?
Beautiful day in the neighborhood, man. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Beautiful day.
now you guys are
deservedly given what they were earned. Hello.
I'd love to hear it. Salam, how are you feeling?
I'm all right, man. I can't complain. Great weekend with the guys out in New York, man. How you feeling?
I feel good, man. I'm still tired from the trip. That's me. but I'm good, though, man. Mike, how you feeling?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Another week, you know, let's see what it brings.
Yeah, man, a lot to get to today. We're recording a little bit later in the week. Still, like Gabriel said, recovering from our trip to New York. We'll have some content coming for super, super, super soon. We're super excited to show you guys what we were able to accomplish out in New York. But, you know, while we were gone, zero hogs. We're at zero hogs currently at Manchester United. And we'll get to that in a second, but I think the biggest news in the soccer world were the Ballon d'Or and the other awards that were given out a couple of days ago. We brought our resident Manchester City fan, you know, Solo, back on just so he could say his piece. But, you know, before we get into how he felt about the ceremony and you know, how he feels about Rodri winning and all that, I think that those top three were the top three that we kind of all expected would be there. And when you look at the full body of work, you kind of have to go with Rodri, in my opinion. When you look at what he did on the club level and the international level, you know, he was the best player arguably on all of the teams that he played for, that being City, Barca, and, you know, Spain. So for him to have been there and just like what he accomplished and what he was able to provide on the pitch, I don't know. I feel like even with the injury, it was well-deserved. And I know some people are going to argue, and I know the Madrid fans don't like to hear that either, but as a Chelsea fan, as an impartial, I think it was deserved. I think Rodri was the best player over the past calendar year, and he deserved it. But Solo, you know, how do you feel about it? I know you probably out there loading. I don't know if you're bringing out a Tifo or you about to bring a jersey. But Jersey. Okay, there it is.
You're on mute.
Yeah, go ahead, get spiffy.
I wasn't wearing my jersey. What's crazy is my jersey just came.
Still
in.
Got the tag on. Yeah,
it literally just came in. I was like, oh wait, I forgot to put it on. But you know the thing is, I'll be real with you. A Ballon d'Or is one of those things where I think we need to start accepting that these are going to be more and more contentious as time goes on. And I feel like it's an unfair, it's not being fair to what came before this. Messi and Ronaldo were freaks. They were not normal by any means. And they're like outliers in all this. So now we're leveling back. And I think people have to think about how the game has changed since before the Messi Ronaldo era. Like if you look at some of those years, you had Xavi, Iniesta, and I don't even know who.
Ribery
that year. Robbery was there. But also, if you were really looking at the three of those, they had amazing years. It would have been really difficult if Messi wasn't who he was and or Ronaldo wasn't who they are. So one, like we're in this era now where things are even closer and we have more and more data that lets us see more and more of what different players can do. Before, all you would see is the person that scores the goal, or the person that gets the crazy assist. But when you look at a player like Rodri, I'm like, come on, this isn't like what they said about Busquets. When you see when you watch the game, you don't see Busquets. When you see Busquets, you see the whole game. And that's how players like Rodri operate, where it's like, when you look at what they're doing, the transition through everything, like our entire attack and defense goes through this one position. And that's why CDMs are even more important now than ever before. And so I'm like, you got that. And then you got this many goals and assists. He had 8 less goals and assists than Vinny, a forward slash split striker. Like, you know, I'm not saying he's not like amazing. He definitely deserves it. But the ridiculousness of the fallout of it is just so disrespectful. So that's why I was just like, man, if Vinny had won it, I'd be like, yo, deserved fully. No question about it. And in some cases, I can fully, I find myself leaning to some of the arguments of like Vinny could have won it over him. The biggest issue though, Brazil. He's just five goals. Come on. Like 5 years, all these competitions, and none of them do. One, Brazil is bad, but none of them show up for their team. And Rodri, even though he got taken out the final, was the player of the tournament. And it's because of the consistency that he allows the other players to be expressive. Because you always know there's a guy that got his shirt tucked in, that's not on social media, that's chilling, that's just like, hey, I'll pass it on. And give those guys an award every once in a while. It's unfair. Like, you see how it always goes to the most. Van Dijk was robbed during his year. Mm-hmm. He deserved it. There's no question about it, but we know why that didn't go that way. Haaland the year before, but to not show up is disrespectful. Real Madrid is disrespectful. They're a club that I think has gotten so used to everything. I mean, bro, we saw those Bayern games. What are we talking about? Some of those offside decisions, like they've had so many things go their way for years. And for them to now not show up in that way, I'm like, it's disrespectful to the football competition, to your colleagues as professionals. Like, Rodri wasn't that far off from you by any means. Like, bro, Solanke had better stats than Vinicius did last year. What are they in bigger competitions? But for me, the real robbery, if we're talking about a robbery, it's low-key the manager of the year. I think Xabi Alonso was my pick. I thought he was the out-and-out favorite, and it went to Ancelotti. I don't disagree with it necessarily, but I'm like, there was a lot of deference given across that award given to Real Madrid. Best team, best manager. Just like all this stuff. So you clearly see there's a respect to still given to the club, but it's when they don't get exactly what they want, they don't show up. And that's why I don't have respect for them. I just don't.
That's actually a very good point.
Barcelona smacked them, and that's why they really saw it.
Yeah, we can talk about that too later. go ahead, Mike.
I mean, I think Solo made some very good points. I woke up today and I was thinking, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think it was that big of a gap to really say that, you know, Vinny got robbed. Because at the end of the day, I mean, he Champions League, is that what's holding him? Ronaldo couldn't get it after that World Cup. Like, I feel like I don't know why we're tripping about this Ballon d'Or, because it hasn't been fair for like the last 6 years. Messi and Ronaldo should both have 6 Ballon d'Ors, if we're being for real. They should just both have 6. Messi's last, how many does he have? He has what, 8? The last two, come on.
They were apologies.
Messi didn't deserve. And then the last one Ronaldo should have gotten went to Luka Modric. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, I don't know why Real Madrid is not showing any class, because it's not like it was just like, you know, clear cut. It wasn't. And the more I think about it, I'm not actually upset that Rodri won it. I think he deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to this. I think
It's interesting because I guess there's really no clarity on like what the criteria is because last year when everyone thought Haaland should have won it, considering that his club team had won everything, but Messi had the one World Cup. And for me, like that was more of just kind of like a legacy statement, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Just because
they have the Super Ballon d'Or. Give Messi the Super Ballon d'Or and call it a day.
No, but I mean, yeah, but like, but Mike's right. I mean, like, it's not just Messi and Ronaldo. I mean, like, yeah, like the year, not taking anything away from Modric, but he wasn't better than Ronaldo that year. So if it's based off of ability, I think the answer is Vinny, in my opinion.
Yeah, I
think. Oh, shit, sorry, I don't know who was calling me. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll edit that out. But for as far as like the best player in the world, I think that's Vinicius Jr. hands down. I don't think that there's nobody that does what he does. He's electric. He's one of the few players in Europe, in my opinion, that actually kind of gets you like off the edge of your seat like when he gets the ball. So if it's based off of ability, to me, it's Vinny. On the other hand, when you look at, you know, the success of your team, both club and international, that's the way that I feel like we should judge it based off of, you know, I'm sorry. That's not the way that I feel like we should judge it. I feel like the Ballon d'Or should go to whoever the best player in the world is that year based off of what the ability is. Because, I mean, for me, I felt like you should have gave it to Carvajal, right?
Okay, so
because Carvajal won the Champions League and he won the Euros. So
okay, on paper, that makes sense.
No, yeah, but because if it's based off of accolades, then he has to get it. But, I mean, the Ballon d'Or should be whoever the best player is that year.
Do you guys think, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't want to forget. Do you think the international, what do you call it, accolades should weigh more than club? Because it seems like it does.
They do. So the thing is, the Ballon d'Or, like, I've been saying this for a minute. Like, I get it. World Cup is the peak of all of it. But it's such a, like, when you really think about it, it's kind of an unfair thing for like countries like Norway, where it's just like, yeah, you're really not doing nothing, but they always go above higher. Same with the Euros, Copa. I always feel like there's a little bit more emphasis.
But should those competition weigh more? They're just a few months.
So I think this is a good question. This has always been a question when it comes down to the Ballon d'Or, for one, like kind of big reason. Like when you look at the award itself, it's an award that started back in the 1950s, 60s, whatever, in France from a French magazine. It's always, you know, it started off kind of as, hey, let's start awarding some players and make a big spectacle out of it. And, you know, since the years, you know, the metrics on what these guys will never tell us, it's had to have changed. Because before, club football wasn't what it is today, and the World Cup had the biggest emphasis in the world. But, you know, through the time and the evolution of football, now we're looking at these big money tournaments and who knows who runs the French magazine now. So it's mad political, bro. It's always going to be political. You know, there's a little bit of that behind it. And that's kind of why this award's so prestigious. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a good question. Who knows? Like sometimes I think that they care super about club football. And then certain years when World Cup comes around or Euros and Copa America comes around, now everything's included. We have to look at all the tournaments. So it just depends, bro. And I don't think we'll ever get a clear-cut answer.
Well, so the rules are there are 100 journalists picked from a certain amount of countries across, I think, Europe. And those are randomized 100. They can never be the same 100 as the year before. They can never be the same as the one that's coming up. But it's always randomized between 100. So, yeah, you're right. There's no variance in that. You could be going to places where there could be a year where you have like 30 Spanish journalists in a year when they win the World Cup. So, of course, they're going to put more emphasis on that.
But and who knows that's what these rules are? You know, the French pool might have 300 journalists, and then, you know, the U.S. might have 100. And then you look at a country like I don't know, let's say Bulgaria, who's still in FIFA, but they might have 10 journalists. So how many times are they getting somebody in the mix?
And that's why it's like the idea of like with what's coming out where people are saying like it's a race factor. I'm like, one, race is always a factor. Like if you're going to put 100 white journalists in this space, there of course there's going to be race associated to that. But we're smart enough and more aware enough of what we're seeing with our eyes and these stats that there is a fair amount of like where you can assess, ah, this, those 10 dudes from Poland, maybe, but the other like 80, 90, probably not. And so it's like, you know, there, but that's what I'm saying. They're not going that deep with the data. They're just doing 100 random journalists from these many countries, and they got to pick it on these three criteria and then go from there.
I hear you.
Like, that's, look, yeah. Look,
even Stephen Curry, who, you know, I'm a Cavs fan, and you know that. Shout out Akron, so shout out Wardell. But even Stephen Curry, you know, he wasn't unanimous. I don't know who that one journalist was. You know what I'm saying? So every time that we all think it's kind of a shoe-in or we don't think that there's going to be some sort of drama, there's drama. It's sports. It kind of comes with the territory. Again, I think Rodri, you know, we can go best player, best ability, but I think it comes down to individual and team effort. And sometimes when you're on the best team, you're going to get a little bit of, you know, that little benefit of the doubt. This year was Rodri versus, you know, Vinny. It's been Messi versus Ronaldo. It's been, you know, we can go down the line. Shout out George Weah. I don't know how he became the first and only African to win back in the 90s, because back then he must have had to, you know what I'm saying? Straight. I mean,
so that's how good he was. Even the racists couldn't even deny him.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like when you look at these things, there's always going to be, oh, who's going to win this? Who's going to win? You know, and I think that's again why it's so prestigious. I don't know if anybody else had anything they wanted to say. Just wanted to wrap up and, you know, give the other winners as they come. Came this year. So the Gerd Müller trophy was given to both Harry Kane and Mbappe. Both had 52 goals on the year. That trophy is given to, you know, the most goals over the calendar year. Mm-hmm. The Socrates Award, which is given to, it's like a humanitarian award. It's given to Jenny. So she plays in Mexico. She's Spanish. Lamine Yamal won the Copa trophy for best young player in the world. Emiliano Martinez, Emmy Martinez from Aston Villa won the Yashin Trophy, which is best keeper in the world. Best women's club, Barcelona. Best men's club, Real Madrid. Best women's coach, Emma Hayes, who was at Chelsea. Now she's at the U.S. women's national team. And then best men's coach, as we alluded to earlier, Carlo Ancelotti. And then obviously we said Rodri with the Ballon d'Or. And then for the female Ballon d'Or, Aitana Bonmati. She plays for the Barcelona national team, Spanish as well. That was the full list of winners. Again, congrats to everybody who won. And, you know, we're going to run it back again next year. We're going to see who has the best resume.
Yo, can I say one thing about the Copa trophy?
Yeah.
Barcelona has won that 3 years in a row now. With Gavi, Pedri, and
Pedri, now Yamal. Yep.
Yeah. When we get to the shout outs, I just wanted to say Barcelona. We have to have a conversation about what's going on.
La Masia is always going to do it, man. La Masia is always going to pump, you know, like they're always going to have young talents. And it's kind of crazy that, because I think even when Gavi and Pedri won, I wasn't the biggest fan of them, and they still haven't shown me anything over the last 2-3 years that's been like, okay, these guys are better.
Same. I can agree with you there.
They haven't shown me anything that's like, oh, these guys are, you know, head and foot above like a Jude Bellingham or Musiala or a Florian Wirtz. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't Jude win it, all different type of players though.
Didn't Jude win it though? One time.
I don't think so.
No.
I remember seeing him. Didn't he win like Golden Boy or something?
I think he won Golden Boy.
That's what it was.
Was this something different? Was that a? I think it was, you know, they always change the names of these.
No, he won the. Yeah, he won in 2023 best young.
Did he win it?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, those guys are obviously unique, one of one, definitely. But I mean, since we're on Barca, I just really wanted to kind of recap the Clásico. They lost. Well, Barca won. I'm sorry. I had to
burn about 4-0. So used to it, right?
No, but I mean, to Solo's point, man, I think it just goes to show, like it's just so crazy how going into it, I mean, everyone at our table thought Real Madrid. I think there may have been a few people who said Barcelona, but it's just interesting to see, and honestly, kind of, I don't know, kind of cool to see that, like, here's one team that kind of just buys whoever what they want. They have a plethora of players at their disposal, and then you have another team that, you know, really, mostly all of them come from their academy, and then the other players. I mean, you're relying on a veteran striker who is, you know, still at the top of his game, and then probably one of the brightest stories in Europe, Rafinha. I mean, his ascension and his resurgence. I feel like, you know, it's been remarkable. So, I mean, shout out to them. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts.
I'll just say Hansi Flick has gone so far up on my list of, like, great managers. I really didn't appreciate his time at Bayern. I really didn't. And what he did there, I was, like, really anti-Müller and anti-Bayern, like the German team generally. But that man really came back. And in the midst of the Ten Hag thing, I think what he reminded people was what the importance of club identity, like having an identity and sticking to it. La Masia is Barcelona's identity. They, whenever they've invested in that system, they have won every time. And them, and this is, like, something that I think United needs to learn from, that Arsenal needs to learn from, any club can learn from this. And I don't say that in terms of clubs doing bad or good, just, like, having, what is your club's identity, and expressing it fully in like the culture and the space, because he's revived that club. I'm old Barcelona, and watching what they did to my club when they tried to do the Galactico nonsense with the Neymar deal, like, what they, we gave away Ronaldinho. It doesn't matter. We gave away Ronaldinho. In my eyes, that's what Neymar was like, for 222 million. And in return, we got a broken Dembele and like useless
Coutinho,
Griezmann.
Because they're not from there. And this Hansi Flick, he reminded everybody, like, hey, your club has identity. Live to it, find it, and like really stick to it. And when he did that, man, I'm rooting for this Barca team more than I'm rooting for any team right now in Europe.
Yeah, I think this past game, I think Real Madrid did not respect Barcelona. Because in the last couple of years, you know, they've been big bro. So I don't think going into this game, the respect wasn't there. And even from the way they played, you could tell. I mean, down 2-0, these guys were still, you know, attacking higher, not caring about, you know, leaving their back open. And Barcelona just kept taking advantage. I did, from everything I saw after the game, I don't think the respect was there going into the game. That's what I think.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, shout out your mom, man. It is a baller. I mean, I always knew he was going to get GA in the match, but I mean, bro, he has been time after time, and the thing is, it's not only that he's doing it consistently, bro. He's doing it in big matches.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he's doing it on the biggest stage, the biggest stages. You know, El Clasico gets a goal, Euros gets goals. You know what I mean? So, to see what he's doing there now is special, man.
Yeah,
I'm dead. So, but yeah, no, I mean, he's a special player. He's a special player.
What are we talking about?
That's crazy.
This is the most craziest picture. I'm gonna get off the frame.
Yeah, I don't know who I took
that's ever existed to me. Like, when they told me this picture, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And it was just all happenstance from the dad saying, "Let's sign him up, bro." Yeah. He the next
some one. Special, some spiritual happened over there. Yeah. Some spiritual happened.
They said they need a messiah, and he came back black. Shout out.
Oh, man, you're crazy.
He's the time to say pain from its own racism.
Like, my man said his image and likeness.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I think he's pushing best player conversations. I mean, I don't know who's second best player. I don't know who's the first best player right now in the world. Yeah. But for me right now, Lamine Yamal is second. A strong second. I don't know who number one is. But number R9 two, we're right the there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Mike. I can get, yeah, I like that statement, man. I don't want to call him the best in the world. Yeah, I don't want to call him the best.
Wrong. Like, he's crazy, though. Like, it seems as if, like,
it's like hard getting, to say it because he's 17. This, I'm like, come on, man.
This is what I would say with him in that game overall. This new version of Barcelona with Mbappe has no balance. So a team, Madrid. So a team like Barcelona with the type of players that they have, moving the ball quickly in tight spaces, Rafinha all of a sudden found his Brazilian passport. You know what I mean? Because for the whole time, I don't know where this brother thought he was from.
The Nico Williams shout scared him. He was like, nah.
It did. I mean, he turned up a level. Lewandowski, I mean, he's playing some of the best football right now. I've seen him playing in like a long time. And the other thing is Barcelona is actually defending very well, which is another thing people are underestimating with them. They're not really conceding goals.
Kubarsi is the truth. So Vincent Kompany said that. He was like, he's the greatest defender he's ever seen, a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah, so you combine that with that German philosophy also too, and what is already rooted in your DNA. This is a team that's going to be hard to beat regardless who they play.
Yeah,
and you're right with Real Madrid. I mean, they thought, hey, you know, this game was kind of like in the bag or whatnot. But Jude, like, I mean, I know you guys love Jude and everything. I'm not a Jude supporter for the most part. I think he's an overrated player, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think from a technical standpoint, there are lots of holes in this game. You know, time and space allow him to be as good as he is. Because if you really look at him when the game gets tight, he's not the guy. He's a box crasher, you know what I mean? That's like, you know, he's good at arriving. The parts of his game he's good at is IQ. He's a very smart player.
He's an evolved version of Scott McTominay.
But this is the biggest part of his game that's underrated. You said that. I didn't say that.
That's
you
crazy.
You said that.
That might be a dollar. We're going to have to bring back the jar.
I just want to let you know, Solo, you said that. But the thing that's underrated in his game, and I'd say a lot of this is what separates good footballers from great ones, is being self-aware. I think he's self-aware at his age to know what he's good at and what he's not at in his game. He knows his strengths and he plays them very well. So, but combined with dropping Mbappe on your team, and they really miss Rodrigo. I hate how the media gets this Rodrigo. The streets love Rodrigo. Rodrigo is a baller.
Bro, he saved them a lot of times.
Rodrigo has scored some big goals for this team and some big moments. Mm-hmm. You know, so the disrespect, you know, in Rodrigo needs to stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they really miss him for balance in their team. Mm-hmm. But this, like you said, that's Barcelona team is going to be hard to beat. We haven't even seen like Dani Olmo like be at his best yet. I would say, you know, this team is deep.
Dani Olmo,
this team is deep.
Another one.
This team is a really deep team, and they're young. I just hope that they don't become overplayed. Because I think that's what you saw with Gavi and Pedri. The reason why we're not really seeing that uptick in them. I mean, when you're 16 through 18, there's only so many games you should be playing in a week. You should be allowing yourself to recover. Because if you're one of those players or one of those people in general that hit late growth spurts, and you're now hitting that massive spurt of you growing, and you're going through that awkward phase while playing these games, you know, in that 17 through 18 period, you know, this prime example for you to get hurt. You're trying to figure out your body at the men's game level. This is not on the job training. You know, you're working here, you know, you're coming in to put in a shift. So that's the part I would say. I'm a little worried about all these young players like Limahl, you know, growing up in this era, so many games for them to be playing at such a young age, you know, I hope they don't flame out at like, you know, 25 with just injuries.
I wonder why Saka got a limp.
No, you ain't wrong.
There's a lot of issues.
That's true. I mean, bro. Even me, like I grew until my junior year of uni, bro. I was 20. I didn't stop growing until I was like 20. Yeah. I didn't figure out my body until my junior year. My stats were better my junior and senior year than they were my freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah. I can attest.
So it's like, yeah, man, that's a great point. These guys have to – I hope they don't get burnt out. And like I said, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but Spain, when it was international break, them all went for a couple of days, and they said, go home. Like, we don't even need to overwork you, man. You relax, because – there are so many games. I keep saying this, and I wholeheartedly believe it, and I haven't heard any rumblings about it. But listen, Rodri has a lot of time on his hands, and this strike is coming.
I can feel it.
I can feel it that this strike is coming.
Yeah.
Because the amount of games that these players have to play are actually ridiculous.
He was one of the main ones talking about it before the injury, too.
Right.
Like, can you imagine? You know, like the NBA season is like what, 72 games now, with the, and then they have the in season tournament. Yeah. Like, bro, these players are playing 90 minute matches, virtually no breaks between these matches on top of training sessions, and they're playing like 6 matches. If you make the FA Cup final,
they're really playing 100 minutes with extra time now.
Yeah, no, there we go. So, bro, that's a lot of wear and tear, bro. Like, you can't compare it to – I mean, you really can't compare it to, like, other sports, because they wear and tear in other sports, but this is not a sport where you should be playing 100 minutes sometimes – or 100-minute games for, like – yeah, for 60, you know, 60-plus matches, 70 matches. Like, that's unsustainable. It's truly unsustainable.
If you look at basketball, if you look at football – in both of those cases, there's multiple times within the game where the player gets to sit down and come back up, sit down and come back up. And not only that, but like the amount of game time, actual play time, is reduced. And yes, they're higher impact, but we're in soccer, like in football, bro, you're literally like, you're always in motion trying to like prepare for something because it's a fluid game. And so a lot of like non-football fans, I think,
lose. You can't shut off.
You can't get a quick break for a couple of seconds because your coach said no. It's like once you off, and you can't come back on. And so
they wonder why we be so locked into matches, because this is all we know. You have to stay locked in for 45 minutes while my team is playing. And then, you know, it's crazy. No, it really is crazy. So yeah, I don't know, man. I that's a great point though. I really hope that Yamal doesn't he will grow. Like, I think it's almost inevitable. Like, he'll grow. So I hope, you know, he can stay healthy
throughout that period. Yeah, but he's one of them. He's one of those type of players, I'm telling you.
Special.
He is. He has so much finesse, and he moves in such a, like, comp. Like, every move, it's like Mainu, like what we see with Mainu, but just on another level where it ends up with a goal or an assist.
Like,
the game is easy for him.
Yeah, it's easy for him. It's too easy. It looks too
honestly
easy sometimes.
It's so easy for him. I remember last season, that was the first time I actually saw him play, and I'm like, this kid doesn't make mistakes. Like, he can tell if I have enough space to beat you, or I don't have enough space, I need a contain, or there's just enough space for me to be able to make the pass. And I'm not talking just like 10 yards. I'm talking 30, 40 yard pinging the ball outside of the boot. And it's crazy to watch, because it's like, how much better can he get, really? Like, how much better can he really get if this is what he's doing at a high level? Just like you guys said, he's scoring in Euros. He's scoring in El Clasico.
He's not intimidated at all.
He's not intimidated by anyone. He's having fun. He's getting fouled. He's laughing at the other team. And then he's going down and getting assists. It's like,
talking about Kalma. He's talking about Kalma at the Santa.
It's really crazy to watch him play, man. And I agree. Yeah. I hope he can just stay healthy, man.
I mean, look at how he dealt with like the racist chants at the game. You know, I mean, for a 17-year-old, also too. You know, like, that his maturity is what is going to carry him. I think. I mean, he's self-aware. He has the talent. I think, like I said, he just needs to be managed correctly in terms of minutes. I think we have a plan for 20 years.
I saw a tweet that said he has the ability to end racism in Spain, because he's going to be the guy for them for a very long time.
For club, Messiah picked him.
Yeah, man.
The Black Messiah. It's crazy.
But yeah, man. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
Well, let's talk about it, man. You know, we brought Solo on to talk about, you know, Man City and Rodri, and we had to bring young Tritty on to talk about how many hogs that United is at. You know what I'm saying? Kind of as we normally do, as tradition is, if you lose the following weekend, the prior weekend, you go first. And this kind of just goes hand in hand with, you know, the Ten Hag news. You know, he's sacked. It seems that you've already gotten your replacement for him. And, you know, you play Chelsea this upcoming week. So there's a lot to talk about. We'll get down to some of that later. But, you know, just over the last 48, 72 hours, you know, from the match itself to the news, I want to start with you, Trini, because, you know, you've been on the episode, you've been on the podcast and both times, you know, a few times you've said you weren't really rocking with this guy. And now, you know, I kind of want to hear where you stand, and for you, what are you looking forward to with this new guy?
All I have to say is, man, for 18 months, man, I've been telling you 18 months, you know, I've been told, I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been told give him time. I've been told injuries. I've been told he hasn't had his players. I don't know, man. I can't name these excuses anymore. I'm not that type of person to go down the line like that. But all I have to say is this. It was time. It was definitely time. I mean, 14th in the league. I mean, we're closer to relegation than we are to fourth place. You know, we're the laughing stock of the league right now. We come into this season. You bought a bunch of players, and then you don't play them. You know, so it's like, no Ugarte is playing. Ahmad was your player of the month. I haven't seen Ahmad since it was warm outside. It's about to snow tonight. You know what I mean? That's the last time I've seen Ahmad. That's how long it's my guy has been on the field.
I'm going to let you finish, but I know y'all seen that video of the Manchester United fan getting mad of his buddy eating. It's like, well, how you eating right now, Solo? That's all I can think of. Carrie going in and Solo just like.
I'm hungry, bro.
I feel it, man. So, yeah, I definitely said it was time for a long time ago. Shouldn't have gotten that contract extension. You know, we all got giddy with the FA Cup, except me. I was like, hey, it's not going to mask any of the issues that we have.
Some of y'all got real giddy.
You know, but what I would say is I like how my club moved. My club moved like a big club. We had a problem. We gave that man time. We got him out of there. And we had a new manager within 48 hours. Smooth, no rumors, no nothing, no whole bunch of alerts going off.
Fabrizio had to catch up.
We just made a move. As far as this new manager is concerned, I mean, I've seen him 5 times, right? The 5 games I've seen, we're going to have a 3 in the back system. I'm not sure how that's going to work out with our fan base. For me, based upon how he likes to play, he plays a 3 in the back with 4 in the midfield, 2 tens and a 9. So I think there are going to be some players that are going to be disappointed in terms of like not getting time on the field, because you're going to have to be really technical to get into that midfield. That 9 is going to be really clinical, and those wide players need to provide width and also, you know, get crosses in and be able to make a play and be able to play in possession. So I'm excited with him, because I think we do have the profile of players to play the way he wants to play. I think the frauds will expose themselves with him. There'll be no place to hide in this system. I think some of Eric Ten Hag's older players that he brought in may not see the field. And some I think may see the field that you might be shocked about, just because of how this new manager will like to play. It'll be an interesting time going forward, but I like the move. You know, we saw the rotting, we saw the bleeding. You know, we got rid of the wound. You know what I mean? We're going to lick our wounds. We're going to go to rehab, and we're going to move forward. You know, we've gotten past this Ten Hag situation. I'm really looking forward to see what we do in the January transfer window going forward. after we implement this manager? Are we going to back him 100%, or are we going to like just see how it goes for us? That's going to be my test to see where we go forward.
Before Salam gives his, you know, gives his thoughts, I kind of want to ask about the formation and, you know, your preferred 11 in that formation. You know, you said three in the back. Based on your, you know, your current roster, everyone healthy, you
if
know.
Everyone
healthy, you know what I'm saying? That includes Euro, all the men you got over the summer.
Phil
what
Jones.
Would you, what would you like?
I mean,
would you like to see? Everybody
if
healthy.
Everyone is healthy, right? This is
in a perfect world.
In a perfect world. And let's just say everyone is the best self that they can be. At that point in time, we'll have to put Onana in goal. I think left center back, I'll put Luke Shaw right there. Right center back. Listen, you're rolling your eyes. I'm going to explain I'll explain my lineup. This is the same guy who said, give him time.
Salam already
set up. You know, this is based on our current roster before January with no transfers if everyone is healthy.
If everyone is healthy, okay.
Luke Shaw left center back, Dalit central in that center back pairing, and right, I'll put Lenny Euro. In the midfield, I would have a Casemiro with Kobe Mainu. In the 2 10s, I would have Ahmad and Eriksen. In the 9, I would slide Xerxes up there. In the wings, this is where it's going to get a little I'm going to explain
sticky.
To you. This is where it's going to get a little sticky.
That man don't want y'all.
this is where it's going to get sticky. Because I think for balance purposes, you need to have one attacking of those wing type players, and then you're going to have one more defensive type winger. So I would say you'll put like Dalot. I would put him on that right hand side. And then that left hand side, this is the controversial pick. I'm telling you right now. I'm calling it right now.
This is the controversial pick?
Yeah, this is it. No, hear me out. You put Anthony over there. Hear why.
Oh my God.
Listen.
I'm going to let you land.
Hear me out on this, right? That defense is set for the most part. Yet you have speed on one side. You have the ability to pass out the back in Shaw. Shaw is a good enough. He was a left back, so he's a good enough defender over there. The lit is good enough to anchor. You can get passing out of the back into that midfield that I just named out for you. As far as the left-hand side, Anthony is not a player to take somebody on. He needs players to combine with. He's good enough to make a pass. you could laugh all you want to in terms of that. From a technical standpoint, in terms of being able to make a pass and do link-up plays, he is a better player than Garnacho is. He is. He's a better passer, and he has better link-up play, and he's a technically better footballer than he is. So you combine that with those players. Xerxes up in a 9. We're not really using him in a sense to get us to score goals, because we're going to have to get team goals in a system like this, because we don't have like an Icarus-type striker that he has on the team that he just left. The type of striker we have in Rasmus Højlund is back down with no good foot skills. He has a touch of Lukaku, which is actually a little worse than Lukaku in the tight spaces, and he's not good in build-up play. So he's not good in build-up play. So with those type of players with a moderate around, the midfield that you called out, a wide player that can link up, another player in the low who can serve across, you have balance in your team, you can play possession, you won't lose the ball, and you'll get the team goals. And also, too, we'll stop the bleeding. Because right now we're conceding too many goals. That's why I say play this lineup.
Okay, I have a question.
You said Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, interesting lineup, to be honest. You left two of the main, you know, United guys that we've gotten to know recently. You know, Rashford and, captain. Your captain, you know, Mr. Fernandez. Listen, you don't think he's going to fit in this?
Listen,
he
Bruno
came
will,
from Sporting.
Let me tell you,
the coach comes from.
He came. Listen, Bruno left. This guy came after, and they won a championship after they left.
Mm-hmm.
So that should let you know what's going on there. They changed their whole philosophy and system after that guy left, and they won a championship. Bruno has not won anything in Portugal. He was at Udinese before that, didn't win anything there. Didn't hear about Bruno in the Italian league. We know what Bruno is. Bruno is that spamming square button on PS on PS5.
So you're ready to move up on Bruno?
I've been ready to move on from Bruno. You cannot be that guy in the 10 slash and want to play a false nine when you want to play it, or you want to drop back deep. You make bad passes and you argue and show your frustration more than you make accurate passes. You're 70-something passer in the 10, man. We lose the ball from you, and then most teams hit us on the counter and hit us on some type of build. He's not the guy. I've been sold on him. So I think for us going forward, we need to be a possession-based team. We need to get team goals instead of focusing on one guy to take us over the hump, because we don't have that. Stop the bleeding in terms of goals, and let's see what happens.
I want to hear what Sloan thinks about this.
We're 14th, man. We are 14th. We are what our records are. So we have to find ways to move up the table.
Ruben Amorim also brings a chance of Victor Gyökeres coming.
Absolutely.
And if y'all get a nine like that,
yeah, we'll chill on the speculation for now. I want to hear some of my thoughts.
Shout out Eric Ten Hag.
Oh, God. Shame. What did he actually say? Hey. Oh, no, that the voice over.
Salute. Shame. Salute. I just heard it's been real. It needed to happen. I obviously said what I said, during our last recording in regards to him. I mean, I really don't have too much to say about the West Ham game. I mean, shout out DeLo not even just him, but I mean, we just had so many opportunities to win that game. So it was crazy that he did get the sack for me, just because I didn't see it coming. I really didn't see it coming. They had a meeting not too long ago. I don't know like what was discussed there, but obviously he was on a very short leash. The loss against West Ham was the final straw, rightfully so. But as far as this new guy coming, I believe it's a great opportunity for the players that are currently there to show why they should still be here. Because to be very honest with you, like Kerry said, I'm not going to act like I know so much about this guy. He recently just got to Sporting. He's, renowned for being tactically, astute, and, he does his stuff, which is great. We need that. We need, some sort of identity, to help us build going forward. For me, I think that the biggest thing that I'm really excited about is he's coming tomorrow. Apparently, he's supposed to be flying tomorrow with three of his coaches, two assistants, and one goalkeeping coach. So that tells me that right off the bat, we're going to back him. We're going to support him. We're going to make sure that he has what he needs to succeed. And ultimately, we all have to understand and not forget that this guy now is – this is Ineos's guy.
I was going to say that, yep.
And because he's Ineos's guy, they will support him. They will back him. I really wasn't even really thinking about the January transfer window, but now that everything has kind of, happened the way it's happened, we probably will, should be active in the January transfer window. And rightfully so. And rightfully so, because we need the reinforcements. But I think... Ten Hag needed to go. I'm happy that the guy who's coming in is coming in. And I just hope that he has the freedom to do what, most managers we've seen in the Premier League be able to do. He has to be able to get out the players that he doesn't want. And, even if it's unpopular and he wants to bring back a certain player that maybe hasn't been up to par, then we have to support him in that as well, too. But hopefully he has the backing and the support, because, now this is their guy. So I'm very curious to see what happens. And to be very honest with you, though, I'm approaching this now okay, this is your guy. this is, and again, they got him because of the current group of players that we have. He could probably get the best out of us with what we have this season and still use that to build off of the season after and the season afterwards, because they said that they wanted to win the Premier League by 2028. So, Miami, you need to make sure that you're taking steps forward and tries forward.
Man, I've heard that before, bro. I ain't trying to hear that. Come on, bro. Well,
no, I mean,
come on with that.
No, I mean, it is what it is.
Hey, that's our plan, man.
I mean, that's what the plan is. And I mean, in order for that to happen, you know, he needs to be able to do what he needs to do. Because if not, we're just going to see more of the same. And if that means that he moves on from players that, you know, are big players, then so be it.
What do you think about Carey's lineup that he threw out, leaving some of the main guys you got? You know, Ten Hag couldn't seem to, you know.
I mean, shout out Carey. Shout out Carey. What can I say? I mean, with those two in particular, I agree with. I don't think that all of our problems are not because of those two. But, you know, again, I mean, I also thought that Ten Hag was a possession-based coach when he came. And then he came, and then all of a sudden everything switched. So hopefully this guy that's coming in sticks to what he's been doing. But I don't see really where there's room for those two. They don't have the player profile and the skill set to execute, you know, what the plan is, what the tactics are. So, I mean, again, bro, like if it, no one's above anything, you know, and the last thing that I'll kind of say is what gives me so much relief about all of this is now the eyes are on all the eyes are now on the players 100%. Because again, this is their guy. You know, none of these players, there's a few players where they talked about where, you know, that there's no, like, we're not, like, they're going to be the cornerstones of what we do. You know, Manu's one of those guys.
You know
what I'm saying? Yoro's one of those guys. In spite of all that, the one, you know, aside from the trophies, Ten Hag has left us in a better place in terms of the youth. We're in a much better place than we were before he came here. Not only, I'm not even just talking about the youth players that he's implemented into the first team now, but I'm talking about our youth team. If you know anything about our youth team, our youth team is actually very good. Yeah, and it wasn't like that. And it was not like
a player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he recently just came.
Set a hat trick.
Arsenal player. Hat trick. There's also a guy from Mali that we got too. That he's just wait on.
Yeah, he's gonna be a baller, man.
Yeah, just wait till you see him. But no, but I mean, I think we're in a good place with the youth team. So obviously he had to go, but hopefully this guy has the freedom to do what he needs to do. But quickly, I just wanted to, what'd you say with the thing? What the lineup? What the formation was? I just wanted to give you my.
I was gonna ask if you had any changes to carry starting 11.
This is given everyone is healthy. No one.
Everyone's healthy.
Everyone's healthy. Yeah.
Onana's on the.
Everyone's in form.
Onana's in the goal. Onana's in goal. Luke Shaw does not even make my team sheet. He's not even a part of the team sheet at all. I'll go my center backs. I will go with the three of Dalit, Yoro, and Martinez. I think with all three of those guys, you have a little something different. But they're also still able to, you know, play with the ball at their feet and, you know, help us build out. The four in midfield, if I'm having two of those midfielders, I would go with Casemiro and Ugarte. And then on top of those two, I would go with Ahmad and Mainoo. On the right, I agree with Kerry. Like, we're going to need to kind of balance that a little bit. So I'd be very curious to see who plays on that left side. But I would go with Delo on one side and have him be, at times maybe we can't play like in a back four. On the other side, I would have Garnacho just because he has
to play. Which side?
He has to play.
Left side.
On the left side. He has to play for me. I think he's one of the few players that actually shows, a little bit of, like that initiative. And we don't have that. And then up top, Xerxy. I think that would be my lineup.
Get it, Xerxy.
But I think long term, I mean, we're linked with, like, I don't know if this is going to happen. Obviously, links are links, but we're linked with a player like Alphonso Davies. If we could have him on play that left wing back spot, that would be ideal.
What's up with this, bro? This is your second time today. Like, come on.
What do you mean? Oh, come this on, man. Got a new manager.
We want to win the Prem by 2028. We're going to get Alphonso Davies.
No, we were linked with him because he's a free agent.
Look up who Plenty Goal is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look up who Plenty Goal is. Look at the link. Look at the source. You'll see it's an incredible source. They're with Bayern Munich. So, I don't know. You look at that. You take your time and you do that. I'm just letting you know what I saw.
Remember when Sergio Ramos signed somewhere? Was that y'all? When did Sergio Ramos wasn't he supposed to go to United? Had the pictures up and all that. Wasn't that a thing at some point?
I can fact check it right
now. Like the past 5 years.
I forgot Sergio Ramos was supposed to go somewhere, and they were like, it's a done deal.
That has never happened.
Either way, when I see it, I'll believe it, brother. But until then,
listen,
brother.
Just want to say the last thing. Ten Hag, 2 trophies, Arteta.
Which is a good point for Arsenal because Arteta has some questions to answer.
He's the only manager in the Prem that doesn't have to win. It's just about the feeling that he gives you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Crazy. He's on that. He's on that Arsene Wenger time.
Arsenal
with a draw over the weekend. It was a lot of good matches this weekend, but obviously this is the high fire-powered one that we were all expecting to watch. 2-2. The game had everything.
A little bit of everything.
But Gabriel, when you look at the end of the end result, happy, sad, so-so. What was your take from this weekend?
We could have won. Like, we could have won so many of these other matches. We could have won. I don't know what else to say about these men, bro. These men are pissing me off, bro. I have a lot to like. These men are pissing me off, bro.
Yeah.
Elaborate. What is
that?
It's just like, bro, we could really be 9-0 right now. If I'm thinking about, we could truly be like, yes, not like, of course, there are going to be blips. They're going to be this and that and the third. But bro, how many times do I have to say we're one of the few teams in the Prem outside of like these lower tier teams. Like, we're one of the bigger teams of the Prem that just shoot themselves in the foot, bro. All the time. Consistently. Consistently, bro. Like, if you look at this match, we go up 2-1. I'm thinking we should go and go get a third. Mm-hmm. Why? It looked real lethargic after we got the second one. Like, we were scared. Like, bro, we are at home. We're playing a top 16. We're playing the best team in the league at that point. Not even a top 16. We're playing the best team in the league at that point. At home. We're up 2-1. They are the lick at this point. Go get a third. Like, it should be a full press for the next 10 minutes. Because how many times in the Prem have you seen a team go up 1-0 within the next 5 to 7 minutes is 2-0? Then who knows, it might be 3-0 in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like we're too nice, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We're too nice. We're too nice. No, 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 no. We're too nice.
You're the polite club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're too nice. And we're never going to be successful being nice.
Okay.
We're never going to be successful not proving and showing our dominance in times when it needs to be proven and shown. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be even getting red cards against some of these teams. Our dominance should still go through and show. We should still be winning these matches. This is a match we could have won 100%, 10,000%. We go up 2-1. So why don't I think we're going to go get a third? It's on, bro. Like, man, I don't know. It's extremely unacceptable. And
yeah,
we're missing the killer instinct. You can say, oh, the refs did, and the refs that they could have scored in the last minute, but no, when you have the opportunity, take it. When you have the opportunity and you have someone on their heels, go at them. That's not the time to lay off. That's not the time to let them get footing and get settled. That's mm-hmm. the time to put your foot on the gas. Every time we score, it should be a press for the next 10 minutes. I don't care if it's City. I don't care if it's Southampton, bro. Every single time, that should be the mentality. Like, we have them on their heels. Why not go get a second? I'm not saying go do something stupid, but we should be on the front foot. Liverpool was not comfortable the entire first half.
Yeah,
the whole first half they looked bad, bro. Shaky. They looked bad, very shaky, extremely shaky. Robertson was twerking, bro, early, yeah. Early. Yeah. Robertson was twerking early, bro. Like, we have to. I don't know. I don't know what else it takes for our team to really get a killer instinct or killer mentality. I really don't know what else it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just where I'm at, because from leadership down, bro, I just feel like we're too nice. Like, I'm kind of we need Xhaka, bro, and that's why we miss Xhaka so much, because he was our bad boy,
bro. Yeah,
he was our dirty bro. I'm gonna step on your foot, I'm gonna elbow you, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. We need someone back like that,
bro. Zinny, that's your bad boy. Zinny,
he's your bad boy.
Like, what do you think about Patrice Evra's comments? Because Patrice Evra had that comment earlier. Did y'all see that? I looked up Arsenal just now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just curious.
The Netflix comment.
Yeah, he said, like, Arsenal is like watching Netflix. You're always waiting on the next season.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
oh, yeah.
I think that's your legend. your captain.
Who am I to sit here and say that he's sitting here and saying something wrong? That guy won how many prems? Yeah. He has a World Cup too, no?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has a World Cup.
Yeah. So it's like, who am I to tell him, oh, bro, we haven't won anything? Like, it's just that simple, bro. And what is it going to take? Is it going to how many pundits and how many people is it going to take for you to keep talking on our name for someone to finally wake up and be like, bro, I'm tired of it? Mm.
Yeah, bro.
I personally don't know. Go ahead, Mike.
I want to ask you this. So if you look back, I'll say this summer. I don't know if it was last summer or December. I can't remember which window it was. And I remember we were talking on the pod that, you know, this will be the time for you guys to add that one or two guys that we know are, for, you know, like big guys that were like, okay, mm-hmm. this guy comes in. He's definitely changing, you know, the environment, the locker room, the vibe. Mbappe, when you look back at your transfers, especially this past summer, this was a summer I feel like you should have added that one killer, that one striker. I know it's not, I'm not specifically pointing at the striker position, but I felt like you guys had a chance to add some killers. Mm-hmm. And kind of sat back and was like, oh, we're good, we're good, we're good. I mean, I saw the vibe of Arsenal fans like, oh, yeah, we're okay with our striker. And I'm just like,
but you know where I stand on this.
I'm not talking about you specifically, but we know other guys that were like, oh, I'm cool with Havertz. And I'm like, bro, this is your chance to, like, add a killer. This is your chance. Take the next step. But. And I feel like in these games, this is what you're seeing. You don't have that guy that's just the extra. You just don't have it. And it's not even about, you know, you guys being nice. to be honest, you just don't got the guys with that DNA. You just don't have it. It's not that they're being nice.
We have one guy with that DNA. He's probably the nicest kid on our team.
Who is it?
Crazy. Jesus.
Soccer. Yeah. He got the ability.
You don't think Rice?
Bro, like,
y'all got the wrong Rice, saying, man.
I'm not.
I'm telling you, man. Hey,
what did you say? You said should have just got Jalof.
Listen, man. I'm telling you this. I don't know if you remember this. Like, this was maybe last year. I told you, getting rid of Xhaka and your team.
Worst decision was
one of the worst decisions y'all ever did, because when you guys were at the peak of your powers, y'all had like Gallas and those guys on your team, man. Y'all had real people going to go in there, put in those two-footed tackles. You know what I mean? Y'all went and got somebody who want to be on Fashion Week. You know what I mean? To anchor your midfield and Declan Rice.
I think Yorkers was available this summer, and Arsenal should have grabbed him.
Yeah, I've been on that train. How many times have I sent that picture in the group chat, bro? For me, it's just like, we should have been active. We have the money. Why are we being cheap?
Yeah.
I don't get it, because you see teams when they have the money, they go and spend it to get better, to get more money. That's how you make money. If you already have money, you have money to spend and gamble on certain things to get more money. This is an investment that would probably get us more money. It would take some weight off of some other guys. It could help us sell some guys to get better players, honestly. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, yes, I think we always should. For us, it didn't really make sense to go and get another winger. I feel like right now we have enough wingers. Another one would be great, yes. But primarily, bro, we needed a striker. And we're seeing that now, bro. Like I said, if he got close to 15 goals last season with only their half of the season, on paper, yes, he should be good enough to get us decent numbers to help us fight for a title. But if we're having a number 8/10/9 kind of do this role, what if we put someone there whose sole job, since he's probably been playing football since he was 3 years old, in that same position with some of these same chances, with some of these same scenarios in this league, we would probably have some different results.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how many times I have to say this, and I don't know, like, I don't know who needs to hear this. I don't know who's in Arteta or who's in Edu's ear. But now, because we didn't spend the money, the 80 million, 90 million, whatever you want, they wanted 100 million, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone's on it on this Victor train. We have eyes on them.
Yeah.
So now it's going to come to, who's the highest bidder, and also where this player is going to want to be, and also the project that's sold to him. Because what if a team comes with, they want 100, they come with 90, but he's like, nah, I'm sold on this project. That can easily be the determining factor on him going to another team. When we were in prime position to go and grab him for 80 million, his price dropped too. But as the summer went on, his price went down.
It's gonna drop some more.
It is,
but yeah. I just don't understand why we didn't pull trigger, and you know we're seeing that now. We're like people, like we said earlier, we're one of those teams that haven't been blessed with not getting injuries over this next season or the past couple of seasons. This year we have injuries. We're so secure defensively, but we're not secure offensively. Not to me, this isn't good enough offensively. Defensively, I feel like we should be great, but we're out here leaking goals too. So, yeah. You know, I don't even know right now. I don't even know what to think. I'm disgusted by our play. Five wins, 3 draws, and a loss. And we have a loss to Bournemouth. Like, bro, I'm disgusted by my team right now. I just want to be completely honest. I'm disgusted with what I see. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Odegaard's training on grass. Like, that's supposed to be, bro. Like, man. Hey, he's look, listen, we'll drop some merch, you know, next week. Like, watch, we'll drop merch next week. And they'll hold him over until Odegaard comes back. Bro, fire, I'm not hearing it, bro. And yeah, and we have a tough match against Newcastle this weekend away. Like, we have to go get 3 points. Like, I don't understand what this team doesn't understand, but that's just me, man. We can get off the team. I'm done talking about them, man.
I do have one question for you, though.
Yeah.
Do you think y'all going to win the league this year?
We have to come away with one. One of the big ones. I don't – listen, like I said, we can make top four in the league and win the Champions League. We can win the Premier League and get out in the Champions League and the quarterfinals. I do not care, but one has to come home. Or I have serious –
silverware has to come home.
Something, yeah, or sure. Or we have to go win the FA and the Carabao. But yeah, and that's not even still enough to me. That's still not even enough to me.
Say those are funky trophies. Be careful. Be careful. Yeah, you don't want no funky.
So I all I know is something is coming. Something is coming to Arsenal this season. So if it doesn't, there's gonna be some answers. There's some questions answered.
So if I'm clear, you went from, we're winning the league last year, to something has to come home.
I'm saying one of the big ones has to come home, the Champions League or the Premier League. I don't care which one it is, but one of those has to come home. One of those has to come to London.
As an outsider looking in, I'll say y'all in bad shape, because I would say last year y'all had the best opportunity in terms of injuries wise, because to win a title and a Windows trophies, you need a little bit of that injury luck factor. And right now, you guys are getting hit with a little niggle here, you know? Look, your boy Gabriel just went down last week.
Yeah, you know? but we're 5 points off top, and at the same time, we're 9 matches in. We're 1/4 of the way through the season. Like, the title have big implications come the second and third quarter. We're still in the first quarter, end of the first. Right. We're down a little bit for sure. Well, winter, listen, we'll see what these guys are playing like in 2 months when it's snowing.
My judgment for your team is always December. At December, I usually draw a line in the sand with you every year. I think last year was a little earlier because I already saw it, the writing on the wall, but I think December, I don't know, because this year the league is really weird.
It's tight.
You know, City has their injuries, so they're, you know, dealing with what they're dealing with. I didn't think Liverpool was going to be this good this early.
No.
If you would have told me that, I would not have bought that. I didn't think Villa would have maintained where they are, you know, currently. I didn't know what I was going to get from Chelsea. I know they were going to be decent, you know, but you don't know what you're going to get from them. But you know, this is probably the most wide open pause that the league has ever been, you know. I would say in a long time, you know, the table is really tight. So we'll see where it goes, you know. But
I'm not too worried just yet, but I'm disgusted and I don't like what I see.
I think Arsenal is a club that has lately done better when the eyes aren't on them. And they're not like the expected favorites. When they got that pressure off them, they really shine.
It's too late for all that, bro.
I'm not hearing that, you
can't be a big club.
This is that part of that trying to baby and be too nice, bro. Like
that was two years ago.
That are gonna like push them there. Cause I don't think when I think about the manager situation. Arteta is, I ain't gonna lie. It's an interesting conversation with him right now because I haven't really minded the results as much as I've minded how he plays most recently. It's kind of like, man, they have four backs, 3 CDMs out at one point or whatever. It was something crazy. Nah, so like, what's going on? Like, this is Arsenal. Y'all got all this attack and energy. And now the injuries, Gabriel and injured him more. What is it called? The other
dude's not good. That's his problem. He's not good. bro. I don't.
Gotta show up though. That's true. Gotta show up.
All right, man. Let's go to the titty side, man.
Yeah, I was just, you know, to end Arsenal, I was just going to say, you know, for them to be a big club, they have to be able to take the scrutiny. They have to be able to go down and beat the big teams and big games. And, you know, all that flying under the radar, that was 2 years ago, you know, when they took the league by storm. Last year, they had a target on their back. And this year, it's the same. And now they're finally getting caught up with injuries, and it's tough. But, you know, just like Gabriel said, I think he hit the nail right on the head, you know. It's a big year for them, and I think this will show who they are, and kind of this is a big year for Arteta as well moving forward. I think that he has a little bit of heat on him if he doesn't win something. I don't necessarily think it has to be one of the big ones, quote unquote, but yeah. I do think the fans need to see something.
Yeah, he got to get something. Soon.
It's got to be a big one, man.
I'm a G. It has to be a big one. We don't do all this.
These are your players. These are all your players.
You just signed a 3-year contract.
Sign an extension. I need to see some results.
He's got to be a big one.
Merch.
Kerry, you and I know extensions don't mean a thing here.
They don't mean a thing around here.
Yeah, teams got bread. They'll take the hit. But to move on to a team that has been seeing results. I don't know, man. City just keep finessing these teams, and it's pissing me off. You know, 3-2 win against Fulham, 2-1 win against Wolves, and then this past weekend, 1-0 win against Southampton. It's kind of disgusting, to be honest. They somehow just keep getting it done. You know, we kind of say this on the pod all the time, but winners win. You know, at the end of the day, champions figure out a way to get the 3 points. And as ugly as it is, as much as – you know, to quote Gabriel, we like to call the Avengers and tell them to do their job. It seems like no one's beating Thanos right now. You know, coming off a big weekend with celebrating his Rodri, you know, trophy, and then obviously this rubbish win. How do you feel? Although, you know, your team is running right now, but there's Liverpool ahead of you guys. So
yeah,
how do you feel right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the big takeaway for me from this game is that we held a clean sheet after scoring early. That's where we've been struggling this year, honestly. Like, if you look at a lot of the games that we play, we've conceded one almost every time. And I mean, you know, it's bound to happen sometimes, but it's just something that you can't let happen if you're going into the Champions League, into the FA Cup. We haven't won the FA Cup. Well, no, we won that not that long ago, but we haven't won the Carabao Cup in a while. So I think it would be a good time to like play like our youngins there and get them like ready for that next year without Pep, whatever that might look like. But yeah, man, we didn't concede. I was just happy about that. We grinded out a really long defensive match, and we need that against some sides. I think coming off that 5-0 on Sparta Prague really gave us the confidence, our defense the confidence they needed, just like build off that. And Champions League, we've been all right. But yeah, just another City win. Haaland doing what he does. These are the type of games when I get it why people say he's like a tap in or he like gets goals against smaller teams. But this is the type of games. This is the type of games where you need someone that just
scores for him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like, he may not. Yes, sometimes he's gonna get suffocated out of a big match. He's gonna not show up when he needs to. But in a game when no one's watching, where it's on like the third channel of CBC, it's not even on like the major one. You're really looking for it. Those are the games where it's like, oh, okay, let me go ahead and just get 2 goals real quick and call it a day. And that's why I feel like what struggling with. Like, if Arsenal had a consistent goal scorer in a person like similar to Haaland or close, or I could put that. Yeah, dude, they wouldn't have to worry about all the games because they'll know they'll win most of the games.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's a perfect example. Like you just said, if Arsenal had a guy like Haaland, in this game, you needed Haaland. That was the only difference, that one goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you won that. So imagine if Arsenal has somebody like that. That's why it's so hard for me to, like, look at Arsenal and be like, y'all cannot be okay with playing with this guy. No, you can't be cool. When City has who they have, you know?
It'll make me mad if they'll piss me off if in January we go get someone. I'll actually be mad. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, because you pretty much
if we go, yeah, if we go get someone in January, I will be so. I you might as well just finish the season with Kai Havertz. Like, anyway,
that's fair.
I have a question for you on City though. I mean, I watch casually, not a ton. Do you say what do you say is your biggest issue this season? Because I noticed you think Kevin not being there is really impacting you guys that much. Or is it just a return of trying to figure out Gundo? Because I feel like he's a little different now than he was when he left. Yeah. He's not the same player. And I can't put my finger on what it is. I don't watch you guys enough.
I mean, same, like Foden isn't the player that he was last year. He's just now starting to get that. We're seeing like Nunez kind of really show up in that Gundo role. Like literally Gundo was definitely not being effective. Yeah, I think it's just like there's a lot of uncertainty around a lot of different aspects of the club. A lot of it marked by the court cases and things like that. That's definitely always a factor. I think there's also just like, you know, Pep's last year, like who's going to stay? Mm-hmm. Who's not going to make it through that transition? Bergerstan as well. And I think like it's a testament to City that when we, you know, a lot of clubs, the structure they have in place doesn't allow for those little shockwaves to exist, but and when they do, it becomes more than it needs to be. And with this, it's just like we know that there's a solid, you know, ownership that's keeping things in line and, you know, having a certain like structure in place that transitionally we should be fine. But yeah, I think that's just, I think we're just catching our feet. Rodri missing has definitely been a big one. Literally a Ballon d'Or level player has been missing from our squad. And yeah, we're gonna be in second because of that.
Y'all can't wait to use that excuse.
Listen,
I was just waiting until it came out. You know what I mean?
Listen, we need that man. Like I said, those guys on the pitch that tuck their shirt in and do the simple, easy work. Those guys, give them a dap one time. Let them.
Assistant players.
They're the ones that like will carry your season. When everybody else is having like mood swings, my man is off social media. His mind is clear. He just be like, let me just show up today and call it a day. All these Real Madrid fans, they're attacking Olivier Rodrigo de Paul. They're like coming after all these other Rodri's trying to find this guy. He's nowhere to be seen. I'm like, I respect you. One of those players get those every once in a while. Like, he earned it. You know, like.
Yeah.
He's got burner account asking for less games.
Anyways, I mean, there's not much to say about City. They are what they are. I feel like there's not many ways you can dissect what they're doing. They've done it, five times now in a row?
It's only a matter of time. It's all done after this year. So. Enjoy it now, Solo.
Enjoy it as much as you can.
Next year, you may need to start joining us on Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know. We may need to carve out your own little thing.
Let me get a mini channel where I just talk in a small box by myself and be like, all right, y'all, League 2.
Live from League 2.
Nah, don't worry. You guys going to be on the Ocho in a few after these charges come down. You know, owner's going to be in the same cell with Diddy. It's cool.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So Chelsea was able to put together a very solid week, midweek win against.
Of course, we transitioned to Chelsea.
Yeah, you know.
Hey man, Bowie's Blues.
You know, and then shout out to Todd Boehly, also getting the World Series win with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, as a Cleveland fan, it's always we don't care about the Yankees. As long as the Yankees ain't winning, I'm all right. But you know, to move it back to Chelsea, 2-1 win against Newcastle this past weekend. I don't know, man. It's refreshing to see Jackson and Palmer as our two on the score sheet because those guys are clearly our two best players. They are the ones leading the charge, and they just are in the great form. They're in fantastic form right now, and
I don't know. I really don't have too much to say about the match because I wasn't able to watch the whole thing. Did see a lot of the second half, but you know, Mike, as far as the match itself, what did you see there and kind of your take?
Hey man, this Chelsea team that you know we're watching this season. It's straight up business, man. These guys know. I mean, every game I watch, I'm starting to see like these guys know we can mess with anybody. We can hang with anybody. I mean, there's not much I can say about that game, but you know, Cole Palmer, another Cole Palmer performance. My goodness, I didn't even know I was setting up my flight and everything to perfectly match. Bro, I got home right when it started. I was literally in the couch. It's like, this is perfect. I didn't even plan this. But man, to watch just the simple things from last season that we couldn't get right. Bro, look at our first goal. All Neto did was square it to Jackson. Jackson taps it in. Bro, last year, Sterling couldn't do that. And that was our best. Bro, simple. Just, it's three of us. Give it to him. Let him tap it in. Let's go. Last year, for some reason, we couldn't do that. It's so refreshing watching that. Guys are just playing for each other. Like, guys are running, you know. Caicedo. I can't say much. I mean, there's nothing I can say to, you know, like, justify what he's done so far this season. I mean, the guy's playing out of his mind. Like, I have no complaints when it comes to Caicedo. I have no complaints, really, when it comes to this team, except for our backline. Still a little shaky. I mean, Fofana was a little shaky, but, you know, came out in the press conference today that he's dealing with a lot of pain. So it makes sense why he was that shaky this past game. But overall, I mean, we're just playing well, man. It's hard to be picky and you know try to pick out mistakes and things like that when guys are just playing well. I mean, there's not much I can say really, because these guys are doing their job, and it's almost like a business transaction. Guys know, bro. This game, he didn't play. Who did he? He didn't play Felix this game. I think he gave Mudrik a little bit of time, but I like how he's rotating the guys. You know, when we had the players, they were like, yo, too many guys. You guys have too many players. Is that in the third?
You still have too many players. Nothing changed.
I know, but now we're seeing how all these guys are getting used because of all these competitions. And he changed the lineup. I mean, 11 changes in midweek to, you know, the weekend. And the form doesn't change. The identity doesn't change. The guys are playing the same way. And that's all you want to see, man. That's all you want to see. Progress. Something you can get behind. Something we can believe in. If they go out tomorrow, we're playing Newcastle again. And I'm not saying I want them to lose. But if they go out tomorrow and they don't come out with the result, you know, you're not going off the other end. Because you know, at least, we're seeing the progress. You're seeing what these guys are doing. Mm-hmm. So that at least gives you the hope to, you know, keep pushing, keep supporting them. But overall, I mean, this Maresca guy has impressed me. I mean, we were going to go for the Amorim guy. Some reason we didn't go with him. We went with Maresca. Hey, best decision we've made since the Bolies got here. So there's not much I can say.
I think, Kerry just said this earlier, you know, identity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of preached that since the Bully administration came in. You know, we don't have an identity. Mm-hmm. Where is our identity? Who are the players that we're buying? What are we trying to do with this whole new project? And for the first time this year, we got a manager who's put in place a style of play, who's put in place a I value hard work first. So if you think just because you're talented, you're going to come in here and you're going to start every week, that's not how this is going to work. There's a manager that came into Chelsea and just said, this is what we're going to do. And the players are following him. You know why? Because they can see success. Yeah. And I think it's huge. And honestly, it's been the biggest refreshment for me. Because like I said last year, I know we got the players. We can score against anyone. We put four up against City last year. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm like, okay, I already know that we can score. Where are the issues in our back line, in our identity, when we get scored on, how we put our heads down, how our reactions. It was the small things. And now when you look at this Chelsea team compared to even 6 months ago, bro, we look completely different. And it's been more than refreshing. It's honestly been, I don't even know what the word is. It's been, look, now we are the team to beat. We got a little bit of behind us now.
They got that belief. You can see it.
It's like I said before, the only two teams we've lost to this year are City and Liverpool. And that kind of goes to show where we are. I know it's only 9 weeks in, but last year that wasn't the case. We were going up and down and up and down. Yeah. And, you know, we would draw against Liverpool and we would do well against the top six, but then we'd see a Wolves and we'd see a Bournemouth and we'd see a Southampton. And this year we don't see that. Just like you said, it's a business decision. We go in, we take care of business, we go home. Yeah. It's been nice to see.
Yeah.
So I would say each season I adopt like a team to watch outside of my team. This year it was you guys because Sancho left and went there. You know, I like Sancho as a player, just like his style of play. And I would definitely say so far that Lavia Cancedo combination in the midfield for y'all onto something with that.
Team.
Like you guys are really onto something. They're like it was amazing to watch like the. They have the passing range, they have the fitness, they have the touch, you know. Yeah. So that combination is really good. I know. I also watch Enzo. I know people will try to figure out like what Enzo is. I think Enzo, he's just a ball retention player for you guys. You know, he's just there to keep the ball ticking. Like you don't really see what he's like doing unless you're really really watching the game. But I would say in this team, if you guys are going to be successful and Lavia is going to be healthy, Enzo might be odd man out.
Which I feel like has been the plan for, I think we Caicedo is our $100 million man, and so is Enzo. But when we bought Lavia, I think we bought him with the hope that if he got healthy, he would be our starter. Because when you have him and Caicedo in there, I think they complement each other really well. I think Caicedo is allowed to be a little bit more defensive and kind of just be, you know, the structure in the middle. And when Lavia is healthy, he's going to be the creator. You know, along with Cole Palmer, like they're going to be higher up the pitch. And so it just looks good, man. You know, you can finally see the pieces starting to form a puzzle. You know, not all the pieces are there yet, but, you know, we got the border and now we're starting to fill in the middle and it's good.
I'm glad you brought up Enzo because even in that game on Sunday, you know, he came back, he was brought on later on in the game. And I kind of see the vision. Yes, you know, we spent $100 million on him, but when he came in, we were a little bit more settled because getting to the end of the game, Newcastle was they were bringing it right when Enzo came in, everything kind of settled. So I can see how we can use him in that role. Like, I think the biggest issue was the price tag. So everybody wants to see, you know, but that's not the type of player. He's just not that guy. He's not like Luka Modric. That, you know, you could be like, okay, I see what he's doing. I see, you know, every little thing. But this guy does a lot. But that's the thing. I trust whatever Maresca want to do. Like, he's proven to me already. I don't doubt what he's doing. Like, this whole, you know, Mykhailo Mudryk thing, everybody's like, oh, Mudryk flop, this, that, and the third. Somehow, he's finding a way to get this guy going. Something Poch couldn't do. So, hey.
Yeah, what was Busta Rhymes' nickname? Busta Bus.
He's on fraud watch to me, man.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them. That's wild to me that a player of that much money, all of us, we're just okay with just, he's just the sixth man. That's wild, man. The Argentinian Anthony.
But is it wild if you have a system that is going and, you know, you could use him in another way? Like,
in today's day, hold on, Mike. in 2024?
Yes.
I'm not going to indulge in this nonsense.
Yes.
What are you talking about, Mike?
Do you understand the space that we're in, Mike?
The price tag. We didn't make the price tag. We just
made it. I didn't make it up.
You got $200 million and sit on the bench.
You said Anthony was this. He's not even. He just spins. Enzo doesn't even spin. He just.
I mean, Enzo at least plays though.
Yeah, man, he does. He plays. So does a lot of people just play. A lot of people just play. Let's not start. I don't want to go there.
All right.
Let's wrap it. Shout out you boys, man. We had a great weekend over there. It was just such a great weekend. I'm still recovering, but would not have traded that weekend in for the world, to be honest.
Yeah, that was great. Seeing the content we recorded, it was even better. Yeah.
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everyone that we connected with on our trip. Definitely learned a lot, saw a lot. New York was really good to us. Other than that, shout out Vinny. And most importantly, shout out the team that Vinny's playing up against next, because I know our locks of the week are, you know, subjected to only just the Premier League, but if you want an extra pick, I'll give it to you right here.
Hammer,
Vinny, goal or assist. if you're feeling froggy, I would say two goals, but shout out to Vinny, the best player in the world.
I don't have no shout outs. I'm disgusted in the football world right now. I don't have no shout outs.
Shout out Arteta, man. Come on, game. Shout out Arteta, man. M.A.
I just got one shout out.
The real young M.A.
Shout out to my club for moving like a big club for once, you know, and getting that fraud out of here.
Yeah. That fraud, that bald fraud, right?
Hey.
He called him the devil's egg. That's
fraud. The devil's egg
is crazy.
I'm so happy we're moving past this Erik ten Hag era. I'm excited, but watching with a little bit of skepticism at times, you know, to see what we do going forward. But yeah, I'm excited for my team, and shout out to United for moving forward with getting a new manager.
Gary, real quick, can I just ask you, just real quick, can you rank the managers post Fergie?
Post Fergie?
Yeah, rank them. From best to worst, or from worst to best?
I'll say from worst, Moisey will always have to be the worst because he shouldn't have gotten that job.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Controversial one here. Erik ten Hag goes right there next after Moyes.
Wow.
It's the worst football we've ever seen.
Wow.
Worst transfers I've ever seen during my time here at United. Tactically, he didn't have a clue. I mean, he should be coaching like FC and Messi is playing, you know, in those like leagues or whatever it is. You have those funny names. He should be coaching one of those guys. After that, I'll say Van Gaal, only because he didn't have the players, man. Like he turned water into wine with Paddy McNair and those guys. Then we'll go Ali, and then Mourinho.
You know, it's funny. The thing about Ole is Ole just had so many good players. He had Pogba and like
Matic,
like Herrera, bro, and then we finished with Ronaldo, Sancho, Varane. Yeah, that's fair.
The ghost of Ole.
Shout out Ole too, man. Shout out Ole.
Shout out to Babyface Assassin, man.
Stay top four.
Still killing us to this day.
Right.
Good stuff, guys. We have sorry, Cornelius. Did you have a shout? Did you say a shout?
Nah, I say us for this past weekend.
Okay. We have a lot of stuff coming at you guys. A lot of stuff. So appreciate everybody for the continued support. Definitely, Kerry, thank you for your time, bro.
Thank you.
Always welcome.
I would love to
maybe you can come back after the Chelsea game, because that's the first game. It's against the Chelsea opponent. Prediction, should we get into predictions? We didn't do predictions. Should we just swiftly go into predictions? I'll start. GRG right here. Especially if this guy is in the dugout. If he's in the dugout, oh my. Cornelius, yeah. Chopped cheese.
Not even a bad shout.
Chopped cheese, boy. Give me that.
Not even a bad shout.
3-0 United.
Arsenal 2-0 away from Newcastle. Two set pieces.
Wait, y'all playing Newcastle too?
Away?
St.
James.
Midweek we play Preston. Well,
they have a tough week.
Chelsea, I want to see Arsenal Wanyama replay in this Preston match. Please. Please. Only request.
Chelsea, we play Newcastle tomorrow. I'll say another 2-1 win for us, and then we play United. I'll go 2-0 over there.
I'd agree with Mike.
Yeah.
So let's see. We play what tomorrow? I'm thinking. Do we play tomorrow? I think we play Leicester tomorrow, right?
You guys are still in Carabao, right?
Yeah, we're still
in Carabao. You play tomorrow.
I'll say 2-1 to Leicester tomorrow. I'm gonna go 2-2 against Chelsea.
Wow.
Because I don't think we can stop you guys from scoring. But I feel like the team will be so fired up to prove a point that we're going to get 2 goals.
New manager bounce.
Okay. Yeah. New guys league goals. So I'll say.
We do. I'm not even going to laugh.
Not wrong.
Shut out.
But thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Always.
Appreciate everybody for your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.